Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Raiders Insider Podcast on NBCSportsCalifornia.com. Introducing your host, Oakland Raiders Insider, Scott Baer.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to a Thursday night special edition of the Raiders Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Baer. That's Josh Schrock in this little box thing right there. And we're obviously here to talk about the Raiders' first round. They had two picks. They had one at number 12 and one at number 19. They stayed pat. They did not trade, despite my column passionately telling them to do so.
Telling you, we mapped it out.
How insulting. And ultimately, they made those two picks. They got Alabama wide receiver Henry Ruggs. And somewhat surprisingly, is the term that we could use, he drafted cornerback Damon Arnett out of Ohio State with the 19th pick. Somebody that I did have in my complete Raiders mock draft. I just had him at 60. Nonetheless, we're going to break down both of those selections. The Raiders – not even just inability to trade down, but the fact that Mike Mayock said they didn't initiate a single trade call, all night. And then at the end, we'll get into the Raiders' brief flirtation with Jacksonville about trying to get a 25-year-old stud edge rusher. And we can kind of tack on that because obviously the Jaguars still retain his rights and the Raiders made their picks. First pick that they made, Henry Ruggs, Alabama, at number 12 overall. I distinctly recall reading several Josh Schrock columns and pleas for John Gruden to take Henry Ruggs. Well, he took him. Why is this a good fit? Why were you banging the table for Ruggs to the Raiders for so long?
Yeah, I mean, look, in fairness, I was banging the table because I assumed CeeDee Lamb would be gone.
Yeah, true.
No one wanted him until they fell into the Cowboys' lap and Jerry Jones looked like a pig in slop getting him at 17. But no, Ruggs, look, we talk about it. It's not just the speed, all right? He's not a Darius Hayward Bay who just can run on the track and is incapable of running routes or catching the football. Henry Ruggs, that 4.27 speed is game speed. He's that fast in and out of every cut, every route. He will wear you down. He is just a Swiss Army knife of a weapon. And you and I have talked about it. John Gruden has been very vocal about the fact that Andy Reid has 7,000 toys to play with, and John Gruden doesn't have any. Well, now he's got one. He's got the second fastest guy in the NFL after Tyreek Hill, and I imagine he couldn't be happier. I mean, I gave it an A-. I thought it's a great pick.
Yeah. Were you surprised at all that the Silver and Black had every receiver in the draft available to them? There was a run of three quarterbacks, I think three or four offensive tackles, and some of the premier defensive players. Were you at all surprised that Judy, Lamb, and Ruggs were all sitting there at 12?
Yeah, I was really surprised that, one, no team went up. I thought the Broncos might go up and get Judy. He fell to them at 15 anyways. I thought the Jets might grab CeeDee Lamb or Ruggs. They went offensive tackle. So Raiders had their pick. I'm a little shocked that CeeDee Lamb wasn't the pick just because there was all the talk about how much Mike Mayock loved him, but I think we can say that John Gruden was the one calling Henry Ruggs' name.
Yeah, and I really think that this is a surefire sign, not like we didn't know, that John Gruden has the final and really only important word, that he's going to make his choices. And maybe as the draft wears along, Mike Mayock's voice may get louder, especially when they get into the third through the seventh round, which isn't to say that John Gruden only knows about first-round players, but it's very clear he wanted Ruggs. He got him. And Arnett, maybe – that we can get to him, but, you know, a really good scheme fit, and they picked him, you know, and it both matters and doesn't matter that it was considered a reach, right? Because the NFL draft is all about value, right? Value in timing and how much you can get, and there's a 61-pick gap between Damon Arnett and the next available selection to the Raiders. It'll be harder to trade up than it was to trade back. But when you look at it, Henry Ruggs only had 45 catches, 700 yards, almost 18, 19 yards per reception. He absolutely changes the way the Raiders are covered. If you want to talk about an instant impact player, just his mere presence will change the way that they are covered. And I think that that is an important part about it. You never know how NFL receivers are going to transition, but that raw speed must be respected. The fact that he has pretty good hands, he's super competitive, I think makes that a really viable option there. Now, you look at it and you think, is that the player that is going to complete this Raiders wide receiver core? Maybe not. Maybe they go back to the well in the third round. But I think his speed, just it changes everything about how the Raiders are going to do it. Darren Waller has more space. Jalen Richard and Josh Jacobs have more space. Hunter Renfro is going to, you know, have some room to work. That's why I think that it was important for him. Is Tyreek Hill a too lofty comparison, too lofty an expectation? It's pretty hard to just naturally assume the guy's going to step in and be one of the game's dynamic playmakers.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to be Tyreek Hill in week one, right? I think a more apt view is to look at how the Chiefs use Mecole Hardman, right? He's very fast. He came in not as a polished receiver, kind of like Ruggs, but they find ways to get him the ball and he makes big plays. So I think you make a good point in the fact that they took someone who, while he can stretch the field, he isn't going to be a number one like Lamb probably would have been right away. So they're probably going to go back to the well later to add another weapon to kind of iron out everything. But I think with Ruggs, we talked about the point to remember is that all of his skills that he has, you can't teach. Any shortcomings he might have can be ironed out.
Yeah, and this is one of those guys where if you look at every draft profile or do some research on it, they always say he cares about playing football, that he's committed, he's very competitive, and those are the – and his hands are good. It's not one of those just one elite trait, and you're willing to overlook a lot of other issues. That's why he was the first wideout taken off the board. I still sort of thought maybe Lamb was going to be that guy. I think I picked Lamb in one mock and – Jerry Jeudy in another, and I almost hedged my bets well enough. I left one guy off there, and that's the guy that they chose. Heading on to 19, though, Josh, what was your immediate reaction to them selecting Damon Arnette there at number 60? I'm sorry, at number 19.
19, yeah, 60 where we thought he was going to be picked. Look, we talked about him. I really like the player overall, talent-wise. I think he's a really good corner. I just think when you look at the value of the 19th overall pick, he probably doesn't fill that entire value, right? But I mean, he's tough. He's physical. He's really good at disrupting routes at the line of scrimmage. He's not the fastest guy. He's got kind of short arms, so he's got some issues. But the Raiders, I really think they liked A.J. Terrell. And when he went off the board at 16, I think they were like, all right, we could trade back maybe, but if Arnett's gone, then we're in trouble. Then we got to really gamble on someone or we don't have another corner. So did they reach for need? Maybe, but it's not that big of a reach in my opinion, because after the top two corners, the next seven were all over the board. I mean, every draft analyst, it was like, just shake them up in a Yahtzee cup. Okay. Two, three. All right. It's Gladney today. It's Arnett today. So I don't think it's that big of a reach. It was just stunning. They didn't trade down.
Yeah, you and I were both just on a conference call with Damon Arnette, and I think he admitted he was a little surprised by the first round selection, but he does feel like he earned it. He does feel like he's one of the best players, and the best players go early in the round. And then somebody asked him later about his competitive drive, and he definitely said that people keep saying that this is a surprise. Maybe it wasn't warranted. Well, I'm going to prove that it's warranted. And those are the types of things that you need. I mean, if you look at Trayvon Mullen last year, right, there are several cornerbacks taken before him, but they found a guy that was a fit for this scheme. That, I mean, Damon can play a bunch of different schemes, but he's done a lot of physical kind of press man. He can play off. He improved considerably last year. I asked him about coming back for his senior season at Ohio State. Obviously made him a ton of money. Doing that. And he said that he wanted to reshape his legacy, and it was more about the mentality than it was him becoming a better player. He said, I didn't get any faster, but it was just about that mentality. Maybe they could sense that level of maturity there, and that's why they went with him. But you think Mike Mayock even admitted we probably could have traded down. And to me, that sounds like there were coaches in his ear being like, do not let this guy get away. Last year, they traded down twice and still got Mullen. I think maybe considering this was the first round, there's a little bit more trepidation about doing that. They ultimately played it safe and got the guy that they wanted. We'll see how it turns out. But, you know, nobody thought that Cleveland Farrell was going number four last year. Maybe should he have? Probably not. But ultimately, I think that that's why you can't say that was a terrible idea or a good idea or a bad one. We don't know until he gets in there. But it was definitely shocking. I don't think there's any doubt about that. So them not having a pick until 80, how big of a deal is that to you?
I think it's pretty big just because I think it limits the options of the rest of the holes they have to fill, right? We think they're going to get another wide receiver. Mm-hmm. They want a defensive tackle. They need a backup running back. Probably need some offensive line help. So mm-hmm. we're running out of quality picks to add, you know, players are going to help you right away. I know they added, mm-hmm. you know, four on day three last year, but that's just not reality every year.
Yeah, and I just think them not being able to get back into the second round can really hurt them because – as I wrote, and you and I have talked about, that there's a lot of value there at positions of need. In particular, in this draft, we talked extensively about interior defensive linemen. You could use another wideout, all these kind of names that you and I have been talking about for the last month. So I think, was that a misstep? Maybe. But even if you have to take less than ideal value, just get the pick, right? And try to make the best of it, even if it's not a higher second round pick or something like that. If you move back just a couple spots, you know, that ultimately you can still not really pick up that much, but they didn't get anything. They could probably package a couple of their third round picks to move up into the second round if they so chose. I looked at some of the point breakdowns and that's definitely possible. So we'll see what the Raiders decide to do if there is a long wait between picks or if we're right back at this thing in the second round. A couple other quick things just in terms of Raiders news. Number one, NFL Network's Mike Silver reported that Gabe Jackson has been on the trading block for a while and that the asking price is not high. You and I have talked a lot about Gabe Jackson being available. That sort of makes sense to me. I'm curious maybe if they could get a pick in this draft and get rid of his salary, that might be something that they would strongly entertain.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'd like to. I think getting rid of Gabe's cap hit kind of opens up a way for them to get Yannick Ngakoue from the Jaguars, who they reportedly have had talks with, at least gives them some cap wiggle room to be able to pull that off. So that's another option. But if they can find a way to find a guard needy team to maybe get in the low 50s, early 60s, that back half of the second round, I think that's something they're definitely going to explore tomorrow because they have to try to get into the second round.
That's what I would think too. They seem to have been pretty comfortable the last 2 years in the first round, no trades, despite having all the ammo to move around the draft board. They end up ultimately staying put. When it comes to Yannick, Jaguars GM Dave Caldwell just had a conference call with the press. It sounds like it was first round pick or bust, really, that they weren't going to take anything less. They weren't going to nickel and dime, like just get rid of him. And they basically said that we really like him. He's more than welcome to come back to the fold on that franchise tender. But that they didn't have any offers that were going to wow them. And it doesn't sound like they had any formal offers. There was some parameters exchanged with several teams. The Raiders were among those kicking the tires. Probably that selection at number 19 was a bit too steep. And that sort of makes sense because you're not only giving up a draft pick, but then you got to pay this guy and it's going to be a lot. And in that vein, you should have just paid Khalil Mack 2 years ago, right? As opposed to shuffling some picks around and then you end up paying somebody a lot of money who may not be quite at that Mack level, but is a damn good player. So let's kind of set them up for day two. The three third round picks guaranteed 80, 81, and 91. Where do you think that these first two selections leave them? I mean, it seemed like they were going to take a wide receiver at 12 and they were going to take a corner at 19 or whatever they got from it. That's what they were going to do. That was their mission and they accomplished it. Where do they go moving forward to their third round picks?
Yeah, I think it's going to depend on how the second round shakes out. I think there were so many surprises starting with Arnett and then in the 20s, you know, with Noah Igbinoghene and Jordan Love going at 26, that a lot of good players dropped. And so that could even push some guys like Chase Claypool, Neville Gallimore, Ross Blacklock, maybe down further. And so maybe the Raiders can buy their time a little bit and jump up maybe just 5-10 picks and get a guy to fill another need. But I think they'll probably have to look, I would imagine, interior defensive line and probably another wide receiver with those first two picks in the third round.
Yeah. And it's, again, it's probably not ideal for them, but you know, they were a little conservative maybe, and just really wanted to get guys that they wanted. Going back to what you said about AJ Terrell, I think you're right. Right. Cause then he gets, and like, this is us just riffing, right? It's not per sources, but it's like, he goes at 16 and then, I don't know, picks were flying at that point. And then 10 minutes later, all of a sudden you have to react and try to figure out what you're going to do. It's weird. You know, there's a lot of draft projections had him going, AJ, in the middle of that first round. Some have had him leaking into the second round. That's clearly not what NFL personnel thought. I think he would have been a good scheme fit for the Raiders. Ultimately, they still go out and they get a press man corner. And if he's good in Damon Arnett, then we won't be talking a lot about his draft slot. It's only if he doesn't live up to it. But he comes from pedigree. And Mike Mayock also talked about that. One last thing before we bow out of here is I drafted a guy from Alabama and a guy from Ohio State. And why do you think that was important? Mike Mayock kind of talked about why, especially in this year without so many verifieds, that it made sense to go for guys from top teams.
Yeah, I mean, I think in this time where they couldn't bring in guys for a lot of visits and we're just Zoom calling guys, look, you're going to rely on, I'm sure they probably called Urban Meyer, who recruited Damon Arnett. Hey, what's he like? Does he work hard? Yeah, check, check, check. Talent? Okay, cool. Boom. Take him. Mm-hmm. Saban. How's Henry? Does he work really hard? Does he grind on the practice field? Is he as fast as we think he is? Cool. Great. In the bag. Mm-hmm. It just makes a lot of sense, especially with Arnett. Columbus, Ohio, that's a well of defensive back talent. I know people go back to Gerrion Conley. Okay, look, there's a miss every once in a while, but Damon Arnett is from pedigree. He has a chip on his shoulder. He's tough. John Gruden's going to like his attitude, his people don't think I'm as good as I am, kind of gruff. I think it fits well, and I think they got two players that John Gruden had high on his board that we all saw on TV because he put it in the wrong spot.
So weird. So weird that that was in the background. I do like that he's still using a dry erase board. I think that's tremendous, but you got to know where the camera is at all times. Pretty classy of Mike Mayock to have a full draft banner sponsored on his video conference call as well. So it is late into the night. We're talking 11 p.m. Pacific time. Please go to the website, check it out. There's plenty of good content. There's going to be some more stuff moving forward for the morning. I'll have kind of a page turning story about what Mayock and Gruden should do. Josh is going to delve into some best available players, and we will be back hopefully earlier than this tomorrow, breaking down day two of the NFL draft. It was fun. It was a little surprising as the Raiders closed down their two first round picks, Henry Ruggs, Damon Arnett. I'm Scott Baer. That's Josh Rock. Thank you so much for the time. Talk to you guys tomorrow.
Raiders Insider Podcast on NBC Sports California.com.